some of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller. Everybody, welcome back to Rated G Radio. I'm thrilled that you're joining us tonight because we have a rare treat. I think this is going to be the first time I've actually talked to somebody who works behind the scenes in a support capacity, but it is one of the most important things that we could ever have happen as a producer for a movie, for TV and film, and all of the things that go on both before the shooting begins and then what happens on set. We're lucky. We're going to have Carrie Droll with us today on Rated G Radio. But before I bring Carrie on the line, a real quick recap of where we've been this week, where we're going, and what you can expect for the rest of your listening enjoyment this week. On Monday's show, we had author Robin Raven. And Robin's out of Alabama. She talked about her first and, well, it's actually the second book that she's got published, but her first one that actually hit the streets. Her second one's out later this year. A fun interview by somebody who's written over 100 screenplays and books and has just chosen to publish the first two. That's Robin Raven on Monday's show. On Tuesday, we had an abbreviated show with Lisa Pini, psychic. We talked about dream interpretation. Tomorrow on Rated LGBT Radio with my co-host Rob Watson, we're going to be welcoming back a friend of the show and also somebody who is kind of involved in tonight's episode as well, Mr. Michael Vaccaro. Mr. Michael Vaccaro is the creator, organizer, star, producer, writer of Child of the 70s. And season 4 premieres on Monday, February 29th. We'll be talking to Carrie about that as well. On top of that, it's a 1-2 punch. We've got Craig Campobasso with a new movie that he's going to be talking about called Please Don't Eat the Pansies. So that's on Rated LGBT Radio on Thursday. That's tomorrow at 7 o'clock. And Friday night, a doubleheader once again. I don't know how we're doing this, folks, but we're now booking double guests on the Friday night dance party, and I said I would never do that, but here we are. Mr. Frank Yeno with a hard rock band called Black Valentine. And today I was talking to Frank, by the way, and he said, you know, what kind of songs do you want me to send over to you to play? You know, can they be explicit? Do you want them nicer? And I said, Frank, it's all about you, babe. We're going to just shine the spotlight on you, and we're going to play your music and talk about it and get people to go buy it. That's the whole thing. Well, and he's asked me about, you know, can the songs be explicit, you know, half a dozen times. So who knows what's going to happen Friday with Frank Yeno with Black Valentine, but I can't wait to have him on. I met him at a Christmas party with Amy Linker over, you know, Christmas, and had a chance to meet Frank and his girlfriend, and interesting combination, those two. So I can't wait to have Frank on the line Friday, and that's going to be at 7 o'clock. But in hour number two, we have a newcomer to the show, somebody out of the East Coast by the name of DJ Shry. His name is Matt, but it's Shry. All things are Shry, S-C-H-R-I. Hysterical. But the young man is very talented, and he's got his eyes set on doing a entertainment empire. He is a remixer, DJ, and a whole bunch more. But we're going to be talking to – well, actually, we're not going to be talking. He's just supplying programming for us for hour number two. So it's going to be an EDM-ish hour number two of the Friday Night Dance Party, and that, again, starts always at 7 o'clock. I say always because that's kind of the joke, because last year it never started at 7 because everybody was around the world and we started at 8 a.m., noon, 1 o'clock, usually anything except 7 o'clock. Now, without further ado, it is my pleasure and honor to bring on, for the first time and hopefully first of many appearances on the show, Miss Carrie Droll. Carrie, welcome to Rated G Radio. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here, my friend. It's been this is one of those, you know, long time in the making. I think that we talked about having you on like 2 or 3 months ago, and we finally were able to lock in a date to get you on here in 2016 to talk about the things that you're doing. And, it's fun knowing you because you're always involved in doing something. But we first met last year at the season 3 premiere of Child of the 70s season 3 in Hollywood. And, you know, since that time, we got connected on Facebook and social media. And then we've had a chance to know each other in the last few months working on some things. And so I'm glad that you're here. So for everybody,
I know
that's hearing
you've got your hand in everything the way I do too.
I'm trying, honey. You know, it's called, you know, it's like I want to write it, I want to sing it, I want to act in it, I want to produce it. So that's why
I just want to help.
Well, that's why you're here, because you do help so many people. So for everybody who's hearing your voice and your name for the first time, and it won't be the last time, that's for sure, tell us a little bit about who you are. Now, this is all the stuff leading up to how you got into film production or TV production. So, uh-huh. You know, when you grew up and, you know, all of the fun stories that get you out here to California.
Well, yeah, I'm performing in Colorado, Aurora, Colorado, where I'm from. I'm a musician. So I grew up performing in cities and bands and jazz bands, and we toured every summer and went to music camp. We did all that stuff and basically lived and breathed music. I figured out, you know, as I got older that it wasn't going to be the life for me. I wasn't going to make a career of it. I quit the music and I, you know, just started working for a living. And then, somewhere in the mid-90s, it was 95, I believe, an old friend had contacted me. She was doing some kind of a documentary, and she was trying to raise money for it. And I had no idea what she was talking about. It's like, you're in Hollywood, make movies. What do you mean you need money? So she started took. Yeah, she started telling me, you know, how hard it was to make movies, and it just blew my mind. So I had been working in a mom-and-pop video store for years, and to this day, it's still my favorite job. I miss it. But that's where I fell in love with independent films, and I could never get enough of them. And, you know, while, you know, all of the other employees were fighting over the new releases, I wanted the independents, the ones nobody ever heard of, and they were great movies. And so I think the very first one I ever saw when I started that job was Pink Flamingos. So
back in the day.
Yeah. Well, so it goes to show, I had never seen anything like that in my life, and I took it home and I was watching it, and I was like, oh, my God, I love this. More, more, more. And but when she started telling me about how difficult it was to get money to make these movies, and it stunned me. And I thought, that's not right. It shouldn't be that hard. And so from there, it just started really slowly. I just started helping people, you know, raise money, doing what I could to help people, you know, get their films made. Most of them, you know, never went beyond, you know, the production stages. You know, some of them made it into festivals. Occasionally, they got a video deal, a distribution deal, but these movies just needed to be made. They needed the chance to try, and so I kind of devoted myself to doing that, and it's just been building slowly over the years, and I get a lot of joy out of it, you know, seeing the finished product.
Can I go back for just a second? Because now I want to do this like, this is your life, Carrie. So, you know, you started out, you know, playing music and that type of stuff. What instrument did you play?
I started out on violin, classical violinist. I started, I think, when I was 7. And, of course, by the time I was 10, I was in the Aurora Youth Symphony and I was traveling with the Colorado Cavalcade. And, yeah, my sister and I were both pretty gifted musicians. My sister, even more than me, was natural. I actually had to work a lot harder at it than she did. Music came really naturally to her. This is what we did. And, you know, we both picked up a lot of instruments along the way. I learned all of the brass, the low brass instruments, and she learned all of the woodwind, and she played the viola in the symphony too for a while. I had decided it wasn't going to be.
Now, what did your sister do? Did she go on and play instruments?
Well, she did go to college, and she got a teaching degree to teach music, and but she decided that work, you know, being a school teacher was not for her. So, yeah,
what
she
do
went,
now?
Well, she got a degree in graphic arts, and I think she works for some publishing company in Colorado now.
Well, so she's still doing something creative and fun, though, so that's cool. So when you decided that you, you know, were not going to make music a career, you said that, you know, you decided you're going to do something else. What was the first job that you took after you said, you know what, this is not going to be something that I'm going to do?
Well, actually, I started working in that video store in 1986, and I did that for 5 years. And, of course, the mom and pop stores were starting to die out because of the Blockbusters and the Hollywood videos. And, the owners of that store got tired. They sold the store to somebody else, and he just ran it into the ground. He ended up firing everybody. And so from there, I worked in a gas station for 3 years. And I actually transferred within that company. So I transferred within that company and moved to Houston, Texas, just for fun. And I still worked for the gas station. One night I was closing. It was late at night, and I think I got caught in a drive-by shooting, and almost got shot. So that's when I quit.
Oh my gosh!
I think they were shooting at the people. I was working with another guy, and we were outside measuring the gas tanks, and the bullets went right by us, and they actually whistle very loud when they go by your head, and.
You're lucky.
It wasn't worth that for minimum wage.
Right.
So I quit, and then I enrolled at ITT Technical Institute, and then I started working at Fuddruckers while I was putting myself through school.
So after you got out of ITT, so how did you end up in California?
Well, I moved here with a boyfriend. he had family here, and I think he wanted to see them and be around them more, and so I came with him, and big mistake, but I ended up with a really good job. So after he and I broke up, I stayed.
Okay.
And so I did that job for 12 years, and then I ended up losing the job right in the heart of the Bush administration recession. At the end of 2008.
Like so many did, And so that got you to California, and then you get your feet wet with you know, production and helping people out. What do you remember, Carrie, what the first project was that you worked on once you got out here to California? Was it your friends that you were telling us about, or was it a different project?
No, I was actually living in Texas, and she called me. Back before, you know, the crowdfunding website, people actually had to call people on the phone and say, can you donate to the movie?
Yeah, okay, so talk about that. So what was that like? What did you do?
Well, you just meeting people. You go to film, to
And Carrie, I've got your line breaking up just a tiny little bit.
Okay. Better?
I hope so.
Okay.
There we go.
So, as long as you're constantly meeting people, you have connections. And so, you know, when you're trying to help somebody raise funds for a project, you call these people. And if they can't, well, it's like you know somebody who can. So then they'll give you names. And so it's constant. You constantly have to keep bringing new people into it because, you know, if you each time, well, they're going to give me any more money. So you have to keep bringing new people into it.
So have you ever had somebody that you started off with as like an initial donor and they gave you, you know, whatever, $100, $1 million, $5, whatever that number was, and then have it turn out that, you know, they had like, you know, 30 people as like a downline that you could call and say, oh, I'll call this person, call this person, call this person. Have you ever fully funded a project off of one person before?
Not fully, but usually when you talk to somebody, they'll say, well, I know somebody who could probably kick in a little bit more. Let me call them and I'll let you know. And, you know, it was constant communication, but that was when we actually human contact. And it was actually easier to raise money that way than it is now, you know, with the electronic communication is ridiculous. But you did ask if I remember what was the first. I don't. I don't remember what the first project was.
I love that. You know why? I love that because you do so much that it's not like you're like, oh, I remember that one time I helped on Titanic or something, you know, because, you know, be like, that's the one film you ever did anything on. But now you've done so many projects that's, you're like, I'm on to the next one. So I think that's really cool. So outside of being a stealth caller and a sleuth caller, what would be like your pitch when you would call somebody up and say, I need some money?
Well, no, you just start talking about, you know, usually after a while people know what you're calling about. So you can say, well, I've got this person who's doing this type of a film. You know, if you can help out, great. If not, do you know who can? Do you know any corporate sponsor, anybody who would be able to help with this? And, you know, you have to talk to a lot of people because you get a lot of no answers. But yeah, you know, it's persistence, and you just have to keep at it. But after a while, though, you start to learn, you know, who has the connections. So, say you know somebody who knows a lot of people. If you tell them, okay, so this person's doing a horror movie, they know who their connections are, who are big horror freaks, you know, who would gladly donate to a horror film. And so they'll give you for you or, you know, send emails or whatever. And, but yeah, it was the constant interaction and the communication and just constantly meeting people.
So and for a typical project, what would be like the ask of let's say the director or the writer or the star of a project? And what would they say? Carrie, we need your help. We need you to do X. It's not just like raise some money. I mean, they probably had to say, you know, we need you to raise $1 or $1 million or $1 billion. What did they come to you and ask you to do?
Well, most of the time now, yeah, it's the fundraising that people want help with. But yeah, I mean, a lot of times they don't come to me. A lot of times if I'm at a film festival and I meet a director, I'll tell them, if you ever need anything, let me know. Yeah, if you need help with your next project, call me and I'll give them my phone number or something. And but it's just fundraising is what people need the most help with.
So, I mean, it's pretty well known. Yeah. Okay, cool. I like that.
And,
so,
but oftentimes, you know, they need props. I loaned, you know, this guy who was doing some short film, I loaned him my accordion once. You know, sometimes they just need props. It's something that's
simple. Do you still have that accordion?
I still have it.
Do you play it?
I play it terribly. I'm horrible at it.
I love having it. I'm finding out so much about you.
I didn't even know.
I love that you have an accordion. I used to play one too a million years ago.
Oh, you're probably better at it than I am. But now the only time I get it out and actually make noise with it is when my upstairs neighbors are fighting. I'll open the window and just start really pounding
very
on
smart.
It.
Very smart.
And so, yeah, but a lot of times people need locations to shoot. So, you know, sometimes you get on the phone and call around and start asking people, do you know of a place, do you know of a place, do you know of a place? And, sometimes you can track them down that way. Sometimes they need food for their set. So you bring them a dozen donuts and some coffee.
Yep. Craft services is a very important part of any location set.
Yeah. So I've got to keep them hydrated and well-fed.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. So we are going to talk about all of the 70s, and we are going to talk about Please Don't Eat the Pansies. We're going to be talking about all of that. But, it's rare that I get a chance to actually find out from somebody who's behind the scenes of a production, what they do and what they go through. What has been something really weird that has happened And not on Child of the 70s and not on something mm-hmm. you're working on now, but in the past, what has been like a really weird request either by talent or by, you know, like one of the directors or writers?
My favorite one is just a few years ago, actually. I can't talk about it because we all had to sign the non-disclosures, but I can say about the circumstance of it. He plays for him. He's a young filmmaker. He had all these big dreams. We raised somewhere around $15,000 for him to make his film. And but he decided he wanted a bigger name actor. And I kept, well, you can't afford that guy. But here's a list of, and now he would name it. And I was like, well, you can't afford it. Oh, yeah, we can do it if we do this. And it's like, no. And I said, no, you can't do that. But he did it anyways. And so in order for him to pay this guy, he ended up cutting payments to key people.
Oh.
And one of them being, there's a scene where he had four actors who all had to wear matching outfits. So instead of, you know, just going to Walmart and buying four outfits that are the same, he decided to hire a seamstress to make them. Well, she's
okay.
one of the ones that they quit, that he quit paying.
No.
So, yeah, it came down. I had no intention of ever going near the set for that one. I didn't feel I was needed.
Oh, my goodness.
But he called me the day before the film, and he's just in a panic because she dropped all the stuff off at his house, and none of it was finished.
Of course.
Of the outfits were done. It made me laugh because it's like, do I get to say I told you so now? But it's like, so
what
I gave
happened?
Him a list. Well, I told him, I said, go to the fabric store. Here's a list. I told him what to write down. I said, don't you dare try and find this stuff yourself. You're not going to get the right stuff. Go to the store employee and tell them you want the stuff on the list, and they'll get it for you. And so, yeah, he was able to get another lady, too. So on filming day, me and this other lady ended up spending the morning, you know, taping and gluing and hand-sewing these actors into their clothes. And we stuck around until they were done filming, and then we cut them out. That one is one of my favorite stories to this day.
That's a great story.
That's his heart. You know, he's young. Yeah, he really needed to learn that lesson. It's like when somebody tells you you can't afford something, there's a reason for that.
But
I don't know. I don't know if that film's ever going to see the light of day. So we'll see.
Sometimes you just have to go through it. You know, you have to live it that one time, and, you know, it just kind of sucks. But you have that great life experience that, unfortunately, with a lot of other people, you know, suffering along with you. But you have that great life experience, and you can say, I'm either going to do those things all over again, or I'm never doing that ever, ever again. I can't believe that. So, everybody, we've got Carrie Droll. She's an indie film producer on the line tonight, and if you'd like to call in and ask Carrie a question, the phone lines are open at 323-657-1493. We've also got the Blog Talk chat room open, and I am on Facebook, so if you want to ping me a note, we can certainly ask a question of Carrie as well. We'll invite you to call in anytime while we're live this hour. So Carrie, as we get ready, we've got a few minutes left before we're going to go to break. Can we start talking about one of my favorite web series that's out right now? It's called Child of the 70s. Can you tell us a little bit about the program and how you're involved?
Absolutely. Child of the 70s is the child of Michael Vaccaro. This is his vision, his love. He loves 1970s entertainment, TV, movies, music, and this is his throwback to that. It all takes place in present time, but everything references something from the 70s. You can't miss it. It stars him, Leo Forte, Susan Olsen from The Brady Bunch, Sheena Metal, who's an L.A. Radio host, Ann Walker, Chuck Sekula, Terry Ray, David Zimmerman, all these great people. And, I came into it in season three. So it's been...
And what did you do in season three? Because I think at season three, I mean, it was like season one was great, season two was great, and then season three was kind of like, wow, season three is here. And season three is really awesome.
Yeah, the production quality is much better in season three than it was in the first two seasons. All three seasons have fantastic writing, but the production is way better in season three. And,
didn't they get a great new sponsor in season three?
Yeah, Equality Vodka.
Oh,
yes.
Equality Vodka with Doug Jacobson and Bert, yeah.
Yes, those guys in Texas, they're doing a thing. You know, they've got their prop, proceeds, a portion of the proceeds of that go towards gay and lesbian, charities, which these guys, and they're straight too, which is really even better. they're great LGBT allies.
I think it was fascinating to see the production quality on season three, and I know going into season four, it's going to look absolutely spectacular, and that premieres this Monday, the 29th. By the way, everybody who's listening tonight, there is a launch party, and you are invited. If you're somewhere else in the country, you're also invited, but nobody's going to pay your plane, fare, or hotel. So if you're in the Southern California, specifically West Hollywood or L.A. area on Monday night, February 29th, you are invited to go see the Child of the 70s at Pump Restaurant. That's Lisa Vanderpump. You know her from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and all of the other things that you will see in the tabloids. So it's going to be a Pump Restaurant, and it starts at 7 p.m., and you'll get to meet Michael, Ann Walker, Ralph Mayer, Susan Olsen, Sheena Metal. I'm going to be there. You'll also get to see Carrie and tons of other people that are in the show and surrounding. And so I'm going to give a quick shout out to Arthur Wooten, who's my guest. We're actually doing a pre-recorded show on Sunday, so I can actually come on Monday night. So that will be fun. And I think right now would be a good time to take a quick pause. We're going to come back and talk to Carrie Droll about more wild Child of the 70s stories right after this song and then a couple of commercial announcements. We might even take a caller or two. So if you want to call in, now is the time, 323-657-1495.
Tell me, what would you say if I flashed a piece on your way? Tell me, how would you react if I walked?
everybody. It's Garrett Miller. Check out my brand new album, Blonde Jesus, voted number one rock electronica, and the hit single, Gay Wedding.
It's a nice day for a gay wedding.
Buy your coffee today at GarrettMiller.com.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
And that's your little commercial break for the evening. We're joined today, right here on Rated G Radio, by Carrie Droll. She's an indie film producer. We're talking Child of the 70s. I want to bring on a caller now. His name is Scott Fullerton, and you'll remember Scott. Scott's a friend of the show. I've been on his show. He's been on mine. He hosts Scott's building an empire, folks. He hosts a show called Left of Straight right here on Blog Talk Radio. He's also got a show on the UBN Network, which also houses Ann Walker and so many others. But, Scott, welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Scott. I have seen your name all over social media, so.
So you should be friends.
But let's not talk about that part of it. Who knows where that name could be popping up at?
Well,
but
Scott,
no, same for you. I mean, I have become such a fan just from.
Can you tell us what episodes you had going on Left of Straight this week, and kind of plug your show a little bit?
Yeah, I'll do a quick plug. We had today was a great show. On Monday we had on the UBN channel Levi Christ, who is just a fantastic out singer, musician, actor. He won a Tony Award for originating the role of Jerry Lee Lewis on Million Dollar Quartet on Broadway. He's creating a new album this year. He's going to be on Del Shore's next movie, The Very Sordid Wedding. It was a fantastic interview. He's had such an interesting life, and it was just a real fun interview. And then Tuesday we had all sorts of fun people. It's just been a great week.
So what are you
check
doing tomorrow
on LeftOfStraight.com?
Thursday show.
Tomorrow we have, it's going to be dueling shows. Thank goodness where our time zones are different, because we are bringing your co-host, Rob Watson, on the show to talk. Thursday night I've started this new kind of serious show, talking about different healing stigma in different areas of the community, not just the LGBT community, but in general. And I have a co-host that has dealt with healing stigma in a very personal way himself. But our first week was our show launched last Thursday with this fantastic Rachel Griffin out of New York City that has talked all about how to heal the stigma of mental health issues. And she has created a musical on all about that, and kind of turned that negative into a positive for her. And then tomorrow we're bringing your buddy Rob Watson on a couple hours before you. He'll be on at 5 o'clock Eastern time, 2 o'clock your time, Pacific time. And we're going to talk about the stigma of maybe just being a single gay parent. He's done such a great job working with his two kids. He's done such a great job at everything he's done. And he was such a great advocate on how to kind of navigate those waters of being a single parent, let alone a single gay parent. So it's really going to be a great time.
Cool. And Scott, remind everybody again how to find your show and where to find you on Facebook and all the places you want to connect with folks.
Easiest place to do is just go to www.leftofstraight.com. That's LEFTOFSTR and the number 8.com. That goes all through all the archives and says where all the Facebooks and Instagrams and what each show's on for each day. We have one show on one network on Monday and then one on Blog Talk on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So it's kind of all over the place.
Okay, cool. Now that we've plugged you, what do you want to talk to Carrie about tonight?
Well, like I said, I've become a fan of her just from seeing everything. I love Ann Walker, and she's a child of the 70s.
Uh-huh.
I like to say that I grew up in the 70s. Of course, I didn't. I'm a little bit older than that. Not too much, but just barely missed those 70s. Hit the late 60s. But I've seen him, and I've seen all your pictures when you get to go to those premieres. You've had Carrie featured dramatically, and just I've heard such great things about her support for indie, and I just really appreciate having you out there, Carrie.
Thank you. That's nice to hear. And don't we love Ann Walker? She's great.
Oh, she's fantastic. And my big question for you right now is, you've done all these things now, and we're seeing so many web series, like I said, like Child of the 70s, like we have Terry Ray's show on, and My Sister's So Gay. And
Do
you think, is that becoming the new indie movies now? Do you think that web series are the way of the future? And do you think they're going to be better suited to be in TV form eventually if they ever got sold, or movie form?
Well, you know, for a while there, you know, web series were, you know, a way of breaking into network TV. You know, they would put their shows on YouTube and hope that somebody would see them and make it into a show for NBC or, you know, or any cable channel. But the internet is so flooded with web series now. Some really great shows actually get lost out there, and it's difficult to find an audience. And it really takes a lot of promotion and word of mouth and pushing and pushing and pushing to get the word out there about a show. You know, Child of the 70s is lucky. We're going to go 5 seasons. Most shows only make one because they just can't get the funding to
do
it more.
Carrie, I mean, you brought up a really good point. Scott, what do you think about this? Because you and I both watch a lot of stuff on the computer because, you know, that's just kind of how it is. And you brought up a very good point that, you know, a lot of web series, even if it's good, sometimes that's rare, but even if it is good, have a very hard time finding an audience because they think, you know, kind of like much of the record industry now, well, if I just put out a single, you know, it has to go to number one, that people will just know about it because I've been thinking about it, and that doesn't really happen. So, you know, why do you think shows like Child of the 70s have become more successful with each season and others just fall by the wayside, you know, if all things are, you know, quote unquote equal?
Well, what I experience, for one, you know, Michael knows what he's doing. Michael Beccaro, he knows what he's doing. He knows how to get the names. He knows how to push it. He knows how to get the people to help push it. Others, they don't. And it is sad because I've seen a lot of great shows, and I can't remember the name of one. Brian Nolan. It was a really fascinating show. It only went one season, and it left with a cliffhanger, and so we never got to see the end. And it was really upsetting for that's the way it was. We couldn't get funding for another season. But,
how frustrating. And Carrie, your line is breaking up just a tiny little bit here.
Okay. I'm sorry. But what I'm starting to see more and more now are people are starting to film pilots in web series, and they're trying to push their pilots on, you know, on the internet to try and get, you know, a television deal. So I'm starting to see more of a trend of that.
I like
that
idea.
Scott,
what do you think?
What about all these Indiegogo and Kickstarters? Are they getting passe pretty soon, or do you think that's still a good source of funding for these smaller movies?
Kickstarter. I'm not a fan of Kickstarter at all. It's an all or nothing site. And what makes me angry with that one is, you know, you push and push and push, and say somebody needs $25,000 and you get them $24,050 and you can't get that last little bit to save your life, and so you get nothing. That just, that one irritates me. Indiegogo's a little bit better in my opinion, but still there's so many, and it's saturated, and people are using those sites to take advantage of people. So it kind of turns people away from it now. So it's getting harder and harder and harder to raise money that way. And I think after a while, we're going to have to go back to the way of actually talking to people. And, you know.
Well, I want to have you on my show, so I don't want to waste all my question on Garrett's show. He's doing a great job on the interview. I just really wanted to say
okay,
hi, and it's so nice to meet you. And
go back to your
I'm
snow,
so excited
Scott.
To have I have you on my show this Monday. I'm so excited.
I know.
So.
By the way, I need to tell you now because things are going to get crazy in the next couple of days. I need you to tell me where I'm supposed to go. I know. I mean, we don't need to talk about the fact I'm geographically challenged, but I need you to PM me the address.
I will do that for you, and we will get
okay.
you there. Get
awesome.
You to the church on time, Jesus.
Get you to the church
we'll
on time, blonde Jesus. That's right. Okay, Scott. Have a great night. I sure appreciate you.
Carrie, it's very nice meeting you. I'm going to shoot you over an email and get you on my show sometime soon. Garrett, looking forward to Tuesday, and you guys have a great rest of the show, okay?
Take care,
Thank
Scott.
Thank you.
Thanks again. Oh, I love it. You know, and Scott has a great story. So if you haven't heard Scott's story, you need to go listen to his show because he's only been doing this for the better part of a year now, and he's, you know, just making his own success every day. He started one show, and then it became a bigger show, and then he's doing a second show starting in January on the UBN network with Tony Sweet, mm-hmm. and then he's doing a second Thursday show, and it's like, you know, pretty soon he's going to be like Ryan Seacrest. That's all I have to say. So
he's got all in the world.
Yeah, I said, take me with you, Scott. You know, take me with you to the top. So thanks,
you know, just
Scott.
To change the subject, I noticed that there's a guy on Twitter that really promoted the show today. His name's Tony.
Tony G. Hackensack. We
yeah,
love Tony.
Yeah, I just noticed that. So I just wanted to give a shout-out to him and say thank you. That was nice.
Very nice of Tony. And Tony's actually listening in, so we always appreciate when Tony tunes in and promotes the show. So thank you, Tony. He does social media promotion for a living. So the fact that he, you know, takes time out of his busy schedule to talk about the show and the guests we have on is really awesome. So thanks, Tony. Appreciate that. So
cool.
Again, Carrie, I think I need you for like a second hour. But now we've got to – I want to say shift gears, but I don't say shift gears. But we're just going to kind of change our hat in a little bit of a different direction. You're going to be working on a new project right now called Please Don't Eat the Daisies. And as luck would have it, we're going to have
that, that would be pansies.
Okay. What did I say? Oh, I said daisies.
I'm
looking at you saying pansies, and I can't even read my own writing, and I said daisies. That's going to come back to bite me, I know. But Please Don't Eat the Pansies by Craig Campobasso. He's a director and co-writer. Craig's going to be on tomorrow night to talk about that. So without giving any part of the plot away, because we'll have Craig talk about that tomorrow, what are you going to be doing for that movie, and what other projects are you working on right now?
Well, for Please Don't Eat the Pansies, I don't know yet what my full involvement's going to be.
Okay.
I have, again, you know, I've known Ron Kerr for a while, so he's the co-writer and star of that movie. And, you know, and of course, he and I have been wanting to work together for a long time, so and he wanted me involved with this. So I don't know what the full extent of that's going to be when all is said and done. But right now, we are pushing all over the internet and social media trying to raise the money on Indiegogo. We do have an Indiegogo account for that. So if you go on Indiegogo and search for Please Don't Eat the Pansies, not
pansy,
the daisies,
pansy,
but pansies, you're going to see it. The cast, have you seen the cast list?
Holy cow,
oh,
there's all the hot stars in there.
They just announced the other day, Mary Wilson from The Supremes. Oh, my God,
yeah,
I almost
Mary
died.
Wilson from The Supremes is going to be in there? Oh, my
but
God.
The Eric Woods and Berna Roberts and Ian Roberts and Chip Coffey. And, you know, Chip Coffey has been very generous in donating for the Perks on here. And so, yeah, go through the Perks list. And he's been really generous. So there's some great things that, and of course, you know, a child of the 70s family. You know, we've got Michael Vaccaro and Terry Ray and
yeah.
Chuck Sakula.
Oh,
so
my
I'm
God.
Really excited about that.
Yeah.
And wow. So, yeah, I'm excited about this. I'm sure, you know, I'll probably help out somewhat on set when the time comes. I don't know if I'll be in the background or not. Yeah, we haven't talked about that.
On set, Carrie.
Okay. What do you want
to
know?
Is it so exciting? Is it like, okay, because, you know, we have people that listen from all around the world, and the only thing they ever think about Hollywood is how glamorous it must be to go to the Oscars and the Emmys,
mm-hmm.
and how fantastic it must be to be in a program, because it must be all cake and caviar and champagne, and you just show up and magically you say your line, and then you go off to some awards ceremony. That's the way it is, isn't it?
Would be nice, wouldn't it? No.
What's
most
the real
of the time
story?
It's hotter than hell. Because, you know, you can't run the air conditioner when you're filming because it distorts the sound.
Right.
So, yeah, you sweat a lot. Except for that day that we were on set filming that party scene.
Right, that was nice. Got a little cold at night.
We had all the windows and doors open for that party patio thing, and we were freezing. Poor Judy Tenuta had her coat on, her big old parka.
When was that, October or November?
I don't know. That had to have been, what, October?
I think it was like late October, but it was before Halloween, and in this beautiful house in West Hollywood.
That was Frank Pond's house.
Oh, Frank, you've got a gorgeous home, my friend.
Love Frank Pond. Yeah, he let us use his house on 3 different days, and bless his heart.
That'll be the season finale, correct?
Chickie's house. Yeah, not only the finale. You'll see it a little earlier, but the party scene that we filmed, that is the finale. It's an Emmy party scene.
Well, let's spend our remaining time talking about what it was like to be there that day, because I have Carrie to thank for inviting me to be background. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for anybody who's saying, what's background? For all you Hollywood people out there, you're like, oh, my God, this guy's so remedial. Well, I learn something new every day. So let me tell you, if you didn't know this, folks, as you're listening from around the world, background means that, you know, all those people that are having conversations that you never hear, but, you know, your stars are up front and center, but you have people walking by or, you know, people who are in the background. They have to have people to be background people. And so Carrie emailed me
to say. It gives the same dimension.
Yeah, you get dimension. You got to, well, it's not dementia, but you need dimension.
Yeah, no, I was contacting people. I had my coworkers there, Jared Moyston, you saw him.
Yep, Jared's good.
And, I had you and, some other people that I contacted on Facebook and said, can you come, you know, fill out a party? Felipe and Chris came and,
We can't forget Charlotte.
Charlotte's actually a regular cast member. She's actually has a real role.
Well, I got to hang out with Charlotte, so I wanted to make sure we give her a shout out because we got to run up and down the stairs about 65 times towards the end of the night, and I was like, this is better than a Stairmaster.
Oh my God! My funniest scene in that. I don't know if it's going to get cut or not, but my funniest scene got after all of you left for the night, and it was with me and Terry Ray and Chuck Sekula. And I don't want to give out too much, but, yeah, Chuck Sekula got a little raunchy with me, and I loved every moment of it. I didn't want it to end, let's just say that.
Okay.
So I don't know if they're going to leave it in or if it got cut out. I'm hoping it got left in, but we'll see.
Ooh la la, as they say.
It was funny as hell. But, yeah, now, I really enjoyed it.
Had Tom Pardo directing the episode, mm-hmm. and I think one of the things that was interesting to me is how calm, cool, and collected Tom was the entire day, regardless of the situation. Tom was very in charge of everything that was going on. And just, I think this is as high as his voice ever got. He never screamed or yelled. He was like, okay, gang, this is what we're going to do. And everybody did what Tom said. But, it was, for me, this is the first time seeing, you know, how they would light up a house and do all of this. And it's a lot of making sure that every single light is exactly the right way, so there's no shadows. The people look, you know, their very, very best. We don't have microphones showing up or, you know, power lines running across the carpet and things like that. You know, what is that like for
you? Yeah, and of course
you
have to do you have to make the same movements each time for continuity. You know, you can't.
Right.
In each take, you have to do it the same each time. You know, we can't even forget to mention our great guest stars. We had Randy Jones from The Village People there. Oh, my God, how lucky are we. Judy Tenuta, Judy was in season 3. She played Michael's mother, but she's a different character in season 4. She wears a platinum blonde wig, so she's a different character. We had Amy Linker and Ted Land from The Love Boat. I mean, these people, oh, my God.
Icons on the show this
year. Yeah, Gina Heck. She plays his mother this year.
Gorgeous Gina.
What a joy.
Yeah.
love her.
Oh my gosh.
You know, so yeah, we had some great guest stars this season, so we got really lucky. And what
Isn't it fun to be able to do a web series like this that has so many, I mean, legendary guest stars that come onto the show,
yeah.
And when you meet them, they're as wonderful, and you know, because you see their personas from whatever it is, like Randy Jones and the Village People, or
mm-hmm.
you know, Amy Linker.
Well, you
from
know, just talking about Randy, when I knew he was going to be on the show, I begged Michael to let me pick him up at the airport because when am I going to get this opportunity again? So I did, and we had great car conversation. I was his primary ride for the 3 days that we worked together. But, you know, when we were at the restaurant, he's such a people person. He was talking to fans, and he was gracious. And, you know, we went to the Rite Aid, and we're in line. It was a super long line. He's talking to the people in the line, and just – what a people person, and what a joy just to be around him. Yeah, and so, yeah,
can
I
we
just
say
adore
that,
him.
Is it a fair statement to say that Randy Jones is a little high energy?
Oh, my God, the guy. I wish I had his energy. He's in his 60s. Oh, my God. you can't catch him sometimes. But,
right,
yeah, he
right.
Even sang, you know, he sang YMCA for us. We had a party he had at the Flaming Saddles in West Hollywood.
Right.
And, oh, my God, love the man. He just doesn't quit. And like, I want to be like him when I grow up.
Well, yes, you too can be a village person. So there we go.
Mm-hmm.
So, Carrie, as we got about 3 minutes left in the segment here, can you tell me mm-hmm. maybe like one favorite story, even from back to day one, of your time on set, and then maybe a crazy story too?
Child of the 70s?
Sure, and you know, I'd love Child of the 70s dirt, but anything that you'd like to talk about.
Well, I already told you my favorite story.
Well, yeah, because that's a great one. You need to write a book.
Yeah. Well, of course, so many. Yeah, most of my involvement isn't on set. Most of my involvement is fundraising. So occasionally, yeah, I stop by the set, and it's usually just to drop off food or something like that.
Have you ever had a weird food request?
No. Luckily, on independent productions, they're grateful for whatever they can get.
Gotcha.
I've heard stories about the multi-million-dollar production where they run into things like that. But yeah, independent people aren't that picky. Coffee and a donut, they're happy.
Gotcha. Well, everybody. I think everybody kind of gets the fact that it's an independent film for a reason, and that means that it's, you know, it's on a budget, and every dollar is important.
Yeah.
Well, Carrie,
I've learned that a lot of actors don't have any concept of time. That's one thing I've learned. People show up late a lot.
It's always 5 o'clock someplace. So you know, if you have to figure out what time to set your clock to, you know. Pacific Standard Time is a good thing to do. Carrie, as we get ready to wrap up, do you have any words of advice for people who want to either, you know, do what you do or become involved in the entertainment industry?
Well, I know people have to get involved at the extent that I do, because what I do takes a lot of time and my own money, which most of the time I don't really have a lot of. But what people can do is support the arts. Make donations to the indie campaigns. You do your homework, make sure it's a legit project, but keep the donations. Go to people's concerts. Go to people's movies. Go to fundraisers. Go to screenings. Go to film festivals. Support the arts and spread the word. Tell your friends to go. Invite your friends to go with you. Go to theater. You know, there's a lot of arts out there that need support. And they can't do it for free. They need people like us to support them.
It's amazing. Yeah. People do think that, you know, oh, you made a CD. Just give me one. Okay, I had to pay to make the CD. So you want me to give you a CD that I had to pay for free, let alone the, you know, $1 trillion it costs to have it produced.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Well, you don't understand. People expect free DVDs all the time. It's like, who do you pay
same
for
thing.
Those?
You know, oh, just give me a DVD.
Distributors don't give them away.
Yeah. Right.
You don't get free DVDs from a distributor. Somebody has to pay for those.
Right.
To give
there's
you a free
cost.
One.
And especially
yeah.
So especially if it's an indie project or an indie artist, you need to say, let me pay full price. Let me pay that $20 for the CD, or let me pay the $30 for the DVD or whatever, because there's a reason that it's not, you know, $1.99 in the Walmart bin. So,
yeah.
You know, again. So, Carrie Droll, thank you for being here. I can't wait
you.
To see you on Monday at Pump in West Hollywood again.
Absolutely.
The invitation
I hope
open.
Everybody else comes too. Party.
You, too.
You know what? But now, we got to say, though, we're partnering up with Friend Movement on that. So
yes,
it's
talk
a
about that
thing.
Real quick.
Friend Movement is an organization that was co-founded by Ronnie Kroll. He's an actor, model, and he's a great humanitarian. And he founded this organization to help mainly to stop bullying. But they do all kinds of stuff. They make meals for the poor and sick, and they do so much. Look up friendmovement.com and see what all they're about, and make donations to them so they can keep doing what they're doing. And they're partnering with us at Pump on the 29th.
So on Monday, though, the suggested
equality.
Donation is $5, but tickets are free. So if you'd like to do that, you just go to Facebook for the show tonight, or you go to Child of the 70s Season 4 premiere and then register so you can get in, because your name will be placed on a guest list. You'll get to have your picture taken on the red carpet. I'll be there taking pictures of everybody. So if you want a picture with Carrie or you want a picture with one of the stars, make sure to let me know and we'll do that. Carrie, it's been awesome having you on. I can't wait to see you Monday. So you take care. Have a great rest of your week. And then we'll catch up and gossip behind the scenes on Monday.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Carrie. So again, just a real quick reminder, tomorrow night on Rated LGBT Radio, Rob Watson and I are going to welcome Michael Vaccaro, show creator of Child of the 70s. We've been talking about that. And Craig Campobasso, a director of Please Don't Eat the Pansies. We will be having our Friday night dance party at the regular time at 7 p.m. with Frank Yano on Friday night with Black Valentine and hour number two, DJ Shry. I want to say Shree. I just need to get that out of my head. It's DJ Shry. That's his name. It's a pleasure having you here. Here's a snippet of the current number one song on Hottest New Artist in the United States. It's my song. It's Gay Wedding. Go out and buy it today on my website. I'll give you a much better deal than you'll get on iTunes. And if you mention that you heard it here on Rated G Radio, I may throw in just a little something extra. Here's Gay Wedding. We'll see you live on Rated LGBT Radio on Thursday night. Listening to Rated G Radio.